If you brought your Bibles with you, I hope you did. We'll be reading from the book of Luke in chapter 2 in just a few moments. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading there in just a second. As you're turning there, I just want to welcome all of you, especially our visitors. You're our honored guests. It's so good to see so many. So good to see so many with us today. And as we strive to do what the Lord teaches us to do, and only what the Lord teaches us to do in the New Testament. Well, it seems like we had finished. Some of you followed through, and those of you who did follow through, you said you loved it, you enjoyed it, and I'm glad you did. Our 30 days of thankfulness, and so many of you were so thankful for so many things. Some of you are still going and past the 30 days, and that's so encouraging to hear and to see as well. Well, last week I imparted us on a new challenge, and if you have the bulletin and look at the bottom of the bulletin, there's a Bible reading schedule. I just want to remind everyone of that and see how you guys are doing. And that will get you through the entire Bible in one whole year. And I don't think it's hard to ask for that. It's only about 3 chapters a day, sometimes even 2. That could take 5 minutes, it can take 10 minutes, and you'll be through the whole Bible in just a year. And if you're feeling really ambitious and you really want to get going, double the chapters and you'll get through it in 6 months, and maybe you'll get through the whole Bible twice this year. So it's just, I hope it's encouraging to you, and I hope we can and can continue learning God's Word today. Well, we're going to talk about a subject today that's familiar to all of us, and that's this idea of growing. It's something we've all had to do. It's something that some of us are still doing, maybe not so much height-wise, but width-wise, as I seem to do all the time. But it's this idea that we've known since we were little, that we've grown from a small child into a teenager, into an adult, and will continue growing until we pass from this life. It's an idea that's there in sports, that you start out, maybe never have played a sport, maybe have never done an activity, whether it's acting or band or whatever, playing an instrument, but you learn and you continue growing, and when you practice and practice and practice, the growth has taken place and you are now a seasoned veteran in whatever you are doing. It's something we're all too familiar with in our secular lives, but what about our spiritual lives? I want to read to you about a familiar man that we all know as Jesus, who had to go through a similar growing process. Start reading with me in the book of Luke chapter 2 and start reading in verse 39. It says, "So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men." Here we see a familiar story and a familiar person. Maybe not as we know him and as we study him in so many times and so many sermons and classes, but we see our Lord Jesus here as a 12-year-old boy. And his family were being the devout Jews that they were. Jewish men were to travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year for different feasts and different sacrifices that were to be made and to be upheld. Many families couldn't afford to go all 3 times during the year and to do that year after year. So many times the families would just go for one, the Passover, what they viewed as probably the more important of the feasts. And here we see Jesus, a 12-year-old boy, as his family was traveling back with the rest of the people going back to their hometowns after this feast. Jesus had stayed behind. He stayed back. And when his parents realized that they couldn't find him, they thought he might just be with friends up above. Normally the children kind of ran ahead of the herds of people traveling back, or maybe he might be with family, some relatives somewhere else, and so they thought nothing of it. But when they got home and Jesus never got home, their boy was missing. And their boy couldn't be found, so they went all the way back to Jerusalem to find Jesus. And when they found him, he wasn't cuddled up in an alleyway somewhere, scared. He wasn't hungry. He wasn't acting like what we might think a lost child would act like. But instead, his parents find him in the temple. He was sitting there with the teachers, studying with them, asking questions. And most importantly, he was listening to their teachings as well and answering their questions that they asked Jesus. Verse 47 says that we just read, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers." Here, a 12-year-old boy studying with men that have grown up to serve the Lord, that would have been well-versed in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, and they were astonished at this 12-year-old boy's answers and understanding. Twice in this narrative, though, we find something unusual. We find something interesting that Jesus had to do during his young years. Twice in this short narrative, we have a reference to Jesus himself growing. The first one in verse 40, where it says, "And the child grew strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom." And in verse 52, at the end of the chapter, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men." We learn a couple things from those verses, that he grew in multiple areas. And we do the same thing today, don't we? If someone grew up in stature, they grow tall and strong and mighty, but they don't grow in wisdom, there's something wrong. And some people grow in wisdom, but they don't grow in stature. And again, there's something wrong. Something's not working. Something's not going right. And here we see in our normal lives, that's what we do. We grow. And Jesus himself had to go through the same growth process. We see that his growth was physical. A lot of people argue whether that means whether it's just physically growing up like a normal adolescent boy would, or if it was his maturity. And I think that it's a little bit of both, that Jesus was a boy. He probably acted like a boy. And he had to grow in not just his physical body, but also his maturity as well, growing from a boy to a teenager to an adult later in life. And we see that his growth was spiritual. Verse 40 again says that he grew and he became strong in the Spirit. That every day he was growing spiritually, and he was also growing mentally. His growth was mental. It says that Jesus was filled. He was being filled with wisdom. And again in verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom. That he was gaining knowledge and mentally growing. And we also see his growth was God-given. That he wasn't in this by himself. Again, twice it mentions in both of our verses that the grace of God was upon him. And he wasn't just growing physically, spiritually, and mentally, but he was growing in favor with God and with men. That Jesus himself had to go through a growth spurt. He had to go through a growing process because he was on a mission from God and God was with him. This morning, I want to look at just a few things in our remaining time we have left. How did Jesus continue to grow? I think that's something so many times we tell ourselves, we've been baptized and now I'm done. I've done my part. I just continue to go to church. I continue to attend a class here and there, and I've done my part. I think that's absolutely false. Or as a church, sometimes we say we are where we are, we're happy, we're content, but we need to continue growing and continue pursuing forward. How did Jesus, our Lord and Savior, continue his growth? How did he become the great leader that he was for this Christianity, this religion of Christianity? The first thing we see in this boy Jesus is that he was active in study. Jesus was active in study. We already looked at in verse 46, they found him with teachers, and he was listening, and he was asking questions, and he was engaged in a study, and he was answering the questions of the scribes and everyone who were in the temple. He was being active in his studies during and in his worship. You could tell that that's where he wanted to be. That when everyone else was going home, Jesus wasn't done. Jesus wanted to stay. Jesus wanted to learn more. Jesus wanted to study more about his Father. He wanted to teach other people. He wanted to be sitting there in the temple. He wanted to be sitting there with the learned people in the Old Testament scriptures. We never see any distress come from the child. We never see him get scared because his mom and dad left. We never see him cower in a corner and say, "I'm all alone. Where do I go? Who's going to feed me?" He was sitting in the temple worshiping and studying about his Father. Have you ever been to Disneyland? I asked that question in Indiana, and people looked at me like I was from another country because Disneyland's so far away. You're close enough here where many of you have probably been to Disneyland. I'll never forget when I went to Disneyland one time, there was a little child, and he was separated from his parents. And he was about, I would say, 9 or 10. And this child just didn't know what to do. I mean, imagine the feeling. You're in this busy place, thousands of people just going this way and that way, and you get separated from your parents, and he just sat there and he started crying and yelling out for mom and dad. He had no clue what to do. And then over here you see mom and dad, they're frantically, where's little Johnny, and where is he, and and it's just a frantic time. We never see that with Jesus. We see it with his parents. They got worried. They were scared. Where's their boy? But Jesus was learning and active in his studies for his Father. I wonder how many of us have the same passion for Jesus that Jesus had at age 12. 12 years old. I'm going to say something, and some of you might not agree with this, but I think we don't expect much out of our children anymore these days. That here's Jesus at 12 years old, and the older people were astonished at what he was able to teach. And some of you might say, well, it's because he was Jesus. He had the knowledge from a child. He was a child. He had to increase, as we just looked at, in wisdom and in learning. But yet he was able to teach these older people. He was able to push these people to understand certain things. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we active in our study? Are we seeking out our teachers and elders and wanting to study more? Wanting to sit down with the learned members of this congregation and of this church to sit and study more about God and about Jesus? And are we picking their brains in Bible classes? That's just a wonderful opportunity to come and to study with people who have studied themselves and come to learn something. And you can pick their brains and ask questions and attend that class so that you can grow just as they have grown. Are we coming to every service so we can study the Word of God, so we can encourage each other and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs? Are we being active in studies with friends and with family to teach them the truth of Jesus? You know, many times people will say that when they teach a Bible class, they're learning more than the actual students. Have you heard that before? It's because they're required to sit down and to study and to learn what they're about to teach. The best way that you can learn is to teach someone else. That is the best way. I've learned more in the few years I've been preaching than I ever did when I was growing up. And that's because I was forced to learn the hard topics. I was forced to learn the things that people might ask. I was forced to learn the answers to people's questions. And you can do the same thing. Study with friends. Study with family. They'll throw questions at you you've never heard before, and that makes you want to go study more because you want to know the answer as well. And are we passionate about God's Word? Are we passionate about the words that He's left us? Jesus wanted to better Himself. Jesus understood He was on a mission from God, and He wanted to fulfill that mission. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we doing to better ourselves? What is this church doing to better this congregation? Our theme this year is sharing our faith. What are we doing to better ourselves so we can share that faith with the people around us? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to make this congregation the best congregation according to the New Testament scriptures and in God's eyes? Are we trying to grow for the Lord, or are we just stuck in the ways that we've been doing things? Are we stuck in tradition? Or are we continually growing in what Jesus Christ wants us to grow in? Are we stuck in the ways we've always done it, or are we looking forward and seeing how we can reach the goals that Jesus wants us to reach? Parents will tell immature children, it's time to grow up. You ever heard that? You ever been told that? I was told that a couple times growing up, I'm sure. It's time to grow up. The Hebrews writer will tell his readers that instead of the meat that you need to be dwelling in, you are still using the milk. You can almost just hear him saying, it's time to grow up. Get off the milk and start reaching for the meat of the Word. Start growing in your godly lives. But here's the problem today. A lot of people don't want to change. A lot of people are scared by change. That when that word change comes up, they say, oh, we can't do that because, well, this is just how it's always been. This is just how it's always been, and it's how it's always going to be. And when you ask someone to change, you're asking someone to step out of their comfort zone. Like we looked at last week when it comes to teaching the gospel. A lot of people will shy away because they're stepping out of their comfort zone and they don't want to do anything different than what they've already done. You ask people if they want to change, they'll say, absolutely. Absolutely, I want to change. Absolutely, I want to be the best Christian I can be. Absolutely, I want this to be the best church it can be. But when it comes down, when the rubber hits the road, we're a little hesitant. And we're not ready. And what we've done is we've stunted our growth. We've stopped growing. It's time to grow up. It's time to take God's word into account, and it's time to take this congregation to the next level. It's time to take your spiritual life to the next level where God wants it to be. It's time to take it to where God wants you to take it. And that's what we see in Jesus. We see a boy, as he says, that must be about his father's business. That when his parents come in so frantic, and when his parents come in scared because they've lost their boy, Jesus said, why have you come? Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He knew what his mission was. He knew what his Father expected of him. And I think it's interesting that he used the word must. Isn't that interesting? He didn't just say, you knew I'd be in here teaching. You knew I would be in here wanting to learn. You knew that this is something I would like to do. This is something I'm interested in. You knew that this might be where I would be. He said, you knew that I must be about my Father's business. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus was on a mission from God. And he often used that word must. In Luke chapter 4, he said, I must preach. In Luke chapter 9, he said, the Son of Man, he must suffer. In John chapter 3, the Son of Man, he must be lifted up. There was no questions about it. Jesus was on a mission, and he was going to fulfill it. And he understood that, even at the age of 12, that he was moved by divine compulsion to do the Father's will, that he must do what the Father wanted him to do. He must carry out the Father's business. He must be constantly involved with furthering the work of the kingdom. He must continue growing daily because he was continually doing what God wanted him to do. Where are we in our spiritual lives? Where are we as a church? do we say we must continue growing? We must share the gospel. We must serve our Lord. Or is it something that we just like to do? Is it something that's convenient? Is it something that might be a hobby of ours? Or must we be about the Father's business? Again, our new theme this year is sharing our faith. Are we constantly looking upward and seeing the harvest that is ready right now? I invite you back this evening where we look at that same concept where Jesus tells his apostles, he says, the harvest is ready, the laborers are few. That's a scary thing. Because a lot of people have the attitude that they don't have to do this. They don't have to do anything for God. But Jesus felt differently. Are we worried about our business, or are we worried about God's business? Do we take care of our needs and wants and then give the leftovers to God, or are we constantly giving the attention and respect to God? Last week we talked about our new beginning in Jesus Christ. We looked at how we can all have a new beginning when we put on the waters of baptism or when we come to repentance. But once we make that transformation, it's not time to say, I'm done, it's over with, now I can just relax. Here's my free ticket to heaven. But we must continue growing. We must continue the work of the Lord. We always hear we need to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Be more like Jesus. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Let's ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't stop. Jesus kept going. And Jesus kept growing. It's like anything else that we had to do in life. I remember when I was little, really little, I wanted to play quarterback in high school. That was my dream. And you might not think that now because I'm a little bigger. But that's what I wanted to do. And so I get to high school and I realize I'm not as good as I thought I was. It took time. It took effort. It took growth. It took hours in the weight room. It took hours of practice. It took hours of eating right. It took tons of time to continue growing to where I wanted to be. Eventually I got there. But it's because a growth process had to happen. Think about our spiritual lives. What's your goal? What's your vision? Most importantly, what's God's vision and God's goal for you and this church? And are you willing to put the time and effort it takes to get to where God wants you to be? Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. It's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Someone who, in my opinion, in a worldly standpoint, had every reason to brag about being the smartest and having the most knowledge about Jesus Christ, because that was one person who was an apostle of the man himself. That he went around teaching and preaching, and he was teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. He had every excuse, as we would think of it today, to say, I am an apostle, listen to what I say, because I know more than you. But he never did that. He was never satisfied with where he was. He even says it there, I have not already attained or am perfected, but I keep going. I press on. I keep growing. I keep going. That's an apostle of Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? Are we pressing on? Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. Our last verse for this morning, book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think it's an interesting thing that Peter brings up there. He says, desire the milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. When you taste something good, many of you are thinking about lunch right now and you're saying, wrap it up, preacher man, let's go. When you taste something good, mouth starts to water. You start thinking about that thing. When you crave something, you really want it. You can't live without it. That's all you think about until you get your mouth around that juicy burger or donut or whatever it is for you, because you've tasted something good and you want more. Peter's saying the same thing is true with Jesus Christ, that if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've tasted that Lord and His Word, then desire it. Long for it. Keep going that you may grow. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. That we should want more of Jesus Christ in our lives. We should want other people to want more of Jesus Christ as well. At Jesus' baptism, you have the Spirit descending like a dove, and you have the heavens opened up, and you hear the voice of the Lord of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What do you think He's pleased about? I think you can look back on the life that Jesus has already lived and be pleased that He has continued to follow the will of God, and He is now at the point where He is about ready to start His ministry. And that's another thing to be pleased about, that God knows that this is the day where Jesus is going to start beginning to teach and to preach. And He is going to start His earthly ministry. It has been so many years in the making since Adam and Eve, and now God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We say the same thing to kids or to people that you love and that you respect, that after a sporting game, if they had a good game, you say, "Man, I'm so proud of you." They had a good band concert, or if they had a part in a play and they did a good job, you say, "Man, that was great. I'm so proud of you." How wonderful would it be to, when we enter the gates of heaven, to hear God look at us and say, "This is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because you kept going. You kept growing. You kept my will at the forefront of your mind, and you had to be about my business. I hope I can hear those words one day. I hope we all can. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to let Jesus work in us so that we can grow, so that we can get there together? If you're here this morning, you haven't put on the waters of baptism, you need to do so. We've had one baptism this week already. Well, last week, this is the first day of the week. Last week, we had one baptism. We'd love to make it some more. We'd love to have you come home to be with your Father and to be with His Son. And so if you're here today and you haven't put on the waters of baptism, let us do that for you. Let us baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit so that you can begin your trek and your journey to be home with Him someday. And if you're here this morning and you've decided that your life just hasn't been going right, that you feel like you've stunted your growth and you're ready to keep growing again, let us study with you. Let us pray with you. Let us do anything we can to help get you back on track. Whatever your need is this morning, come forward as we stand, as we sing.